Hello, ladies. My name is Lori Burrell, and I am an iBloom associate, and I'm joined by a fellow teammate, Leanne Napier, for month two of our iBloom membership group coaching call. And we are so excited about this topic. Spring is here. Let's get organized. Leanne, would you open us in prayer?
Yes, Lori, I'd be happy to. Lord, please just meet us right now and help each of us to have our own personal takeaways from our time this evening. You never give us more than we can handle, so we're asking you to meet us right where we are, however chaotic or bad it might be, and just give us what we need to do to get started. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and for this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, I hope you were able to print out the handout, but if not, just take good notes and you can go back to that. Betsy Ringer, who is another iBloom associate, has a fabulous interview for us with Laura Whitman, and so we are going to listen to that now.
All right. Hello, everyone. We are so happy to have Laura Whitman with us today. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but piles and misplaced files haunt me every day. Occasionally, I can get organized, but I just can't stay organized. And other women tell me they don't even know where to start to get organized. And then there are those of you who are organized, but you still love to hear about the latest tips and tools to be even more organized. No matter what your organization status is, you are going to love our guest today. Laura Whitman lives in Alberta, Canada, and she is a work-at-home mom, and she's been married 16 years, has a daughter and two sons. She owns a professional organizing business, and her website is www.orgjunkie.com, O-R-G-J-U-N-K-I-E.com, orgjunkie.com. And it's jam-packed with tools to help you get and stay organized. Laura teaches us that functions and systems help those of us who aren't organizing junkies to conquer our challenges when it comes to organizing. And she has a book that I definitely need to get, and it's called Clutter Rehab. So I'd like to welcome you, Laura. And, Laura, just to get to know you a little bit, what are five words that best describe you?
Hi there. Well, thanks for having me here today. And I thought that was just a terrific introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, okay, so five words to describe me. I really had to think about this one. And first of all, organized would be one of them.
Yes.
Organized enough and definitely silly. I love being silly.
I love silly. That's
yes, I
great.
Love silly too, right? I mean, making people laugh is one of my favorite things to do. I'm very energetic. I would say one of my gifts is encouragement. I love to encourage people, especially other women, and I'm consistent. I would say, which by that I mean I'm a creature of habit.
Okay.
And not because it's something that comes easy to me, but because I've learned over through experience that being a creature of habit just makes life so much easier. So it's
yes.
something I put into
yes.
practice for sure, because it does make life easier.
Well, Laura, I think you could be all of our new best friends. Love those words. Thank you for describing yourself to us. All right, so let's get into it now. How did your website, orgjunkie.com, begin?
Sure. Okay. My site started back in 2006. I had at the time, a six-month-old and was home on maternity leave. Here in Canada, we get a one-year maternity leave, which is such a wonderful blessing. And, you know, by the six-month mark, I was craving some adult interaction. And and got a friend of mine had started a blog, and I'd never even heard of blogs or anything like that. And you know, once I started reading them, I thought, well, maybe that's something I could do, and started, and that's when I decided to start I'm an Organizing Junkie. And the reason I titled that is because it is something I am very passionate about. I should tell you now that it isn't a gene I was born with or anything like that. It's definitely skills I've learned over the years, and it started when my husband and I bought our first house, and it was a very small home. It was, you know, a maybe 900 square feet and only just the one floor. And through that and having two kids in the home, just getting creative with storage and maximizing storage space, it started to become very addicting to me, because as I found a storage solution that worked, I would just get so excited about it. And I started sharing those things with my readers on the blog, and this response was just really terrific. And so I just continued with it, and here we are 5 years later and still doing it. And I thought I would have run out of things to talk about long, long, long ago, and yet I'm still finding things to talk about. So that should tell you a little bit about my passion for it.
Well, I think that's interesting that you weren't born that way, but it came out of necessity.
Definitely.
And once you started trying it, it just became fun and exciting and a passion to you.
Yes.
I just think that's so fascinating.
Yes, yes. No, my mom will definitely be the first to tell you that as a child and a teenager, I was not very organized.
Wow. Well, then you can probably give us a clue of why organizing is important, or what are the benefits to organizing?
Well, as I've learned over the years, organizing is important because it allows you to manage the clutter and chaos in your life. Mm-hmm. It will also help you to prepare for life's little mishaps, save you money, and maximize your time so you can focus on the things that really matter in your life. And allow you to have the time for those things. And when you're not busy looking for things and not being able to find things and having to go out and purchase them again and replace them, that is definitely going to save you money. And it's just peace of mind, really. Just, you know, it's so hard to describe. It's just, it's like a huge weight lifted off your shoulders when you are able to find things and are prepared for things that are thrown at you. It's just that peace of mind that is so freeing.
That is great. I love that it helps you manage the clutter and chaos.
Yes.
And then it helps you focus on the things that really matter. And I think that those things are a real motivation for us to try to get things organized and then to stay that way as well.
Right. And I should clarify here that everybody thinks, most people think that organizing is an end to a means, and that it's something that we'll just do once and then we'll be organized. But really that's not the case. It's an ongoing process. It's going to continue, you know, even after you get organized, it will continue because life doesn't stop. Life continues to be thrown at us. You know, sick children, you know, a wedding, a baby, any of those life events will shake things up. And so it is an ongoing process. And I think if we change that mindset and know that it's something we need to sort of have habits and routines in place just to help manage that on a regular basis and not just, you know, all at one time, so it's done and we don't have to think about it again. Because if life just stopped and we didn't change, well, then maybe we wouldn't have to. But we all know that's not going to happen. So yes, it is definitely an ongoing process, but it's and I say on my tagline on my blog, I'm clutter and chaos free most of the time because nobody is going to be perfectly organized all the time. My house isn't a showroom house. You know, everything's not always in its homes, and you know it's still a house. I still have three kids. You know, life just happens. So it's just being organized enough to manage the clutter and chaos on a daily basis without having to strive for those extreme perfection, the extreme perfection that so many of us think is attainable. It's not, and we just need to be organized enough that we can manage our households in a way that allows us to get things done without losing our minds.
Yeah, that is a wonderful perspective because you're right. Life does happen.
Yes.
You know, life is messy.
Yes. Exactly.
And, you know, things happen, but if we have, like, those systems in place, those routines that you talked about, that really helps out a lot. Well, our iBloom team, we were really fascinated by your process. And we've linked our members to that blog post, but I was wondering if you would mind walking us through that process and how this helps us to organize the space in our house.
Sure. The process is an acronym I created to help simplify the whole organizing process, because for optimal success, there definitely is an order to organizing that makes things easier followed. And so what I mean by that is what tends to happen is people want to run out and buy the containers first and come in and bring those containers in and just organize their clutter and then wonder why that isn't working. And it isn't working because there are a few steps that need to fall into place before that really make a difference to being able to maintain the system that you're creating. And the first step in the process is to plan out what you want your space to do for you. You know, give it some thought as to the vision of the space, how you want it to work, and just spending a few minutes in that step really does make a huge, huge difference. And then the second step is to remove everything. So if you've got a linen closet you'd like to address, you know, after you've planned the space, you think about exactly what you want to go into that linen closet, what you need space for, how you want it to look, then take everything out. I don't recommend the organizing by shuffle method, which is where you just kind of shuffle things around. That never really works. Because you need to get it all out, throw it all onto your floor, and get into the next step, which is to organize it all and to sort it all out. And I think when you really see it all in front of you, instead of just in the space, you see it in front of you, it's so much easier to go through the sorting and purging part of the process. And, you know, when you've got it all in piles, like with like, and you realize, oh my goodness, I've got 50 pillowcases here. That's a bit extreme, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But until you see them all together like that, you might not even be aware that that's the case, right? So that is a really important part of the process, is the organizing, which involves the sorting and the purging. And then and only then do you get to the C part of the process, which is containerize. Because now all you should have left is the stuff you really want to keep, and you really want to now containerize that stuff that you want to keep, and not all the clutter that you might have kept if you hadn't purged and really thought about what you could part with. And containerizing is important, not just because it looks pretty. I know a lot of people think I'm addicted to organizing in containers because they look pretty, and I won't lie. I do love my containers.
Yeah, we women like pretty things. You know,
that
we do.
True.
So
that
helps.
True. But they also offer another really important side of it is that containers provide limits and boundaries. So if you have a basket now for your pillowcases, if you see them starting to get above the basket line, the top of the basket, you know, okay, now I know that I need to, it's time to purge some of them here because they're not sitting in that space anymore. It kind of gives you a boundary. Not only does it divide your space and keeps your pillowcases separate from, say, if you've got your washcloths in there, whatever, it keeps them separate, yes, and that's very important, but it also gives you a boundary so that when you're out in the shopping in the store, you can say to yourself, okay, I know that basket is full. If I'm going to buy more, because maybe you have a pillowcase addiction, I don't know, but if you decide at that point to buy more, you have to know, say to yourself, am I willing to give up something that's in that basket already in order to fit these new ones in? And it just is that switch in your thinking that help you maintain the system that you're putting into place. So those containers do become crucial for a variety of reasons, and I can't stress it enough. And then the next stage after that, after you've got that organized and in place, is you want to evaluate how it's working for you, maybe in a couple of days, a couple of weeks. You want to just really evaluate that and make sure, are you able to maintain it? Does anything need to be modified? And then the following two S's in the process would be the first one, to solve anything that's not working. You know, maybe you found that you actually need to have room in your linen closet now for tablecloths that you hadn't taken into account in the first go around. So it might require a little tweaking or whatnot in order to make space. So maybe now you have to cut your pillowcases down to even more, to half again, because now you need to make room for tablecloths, if that makes sense. And then the final step, of course, is just to smile and enjoy your hard work. And it really, really makes a difference if you follow the steps in that order. And you know, I think it's a great way to work through any space, big or small.
I love that. You know, all those steps, because I can see where each of them is so helpful.
Yeah.
And as you pull everything out, then you can, like you said, you can really see what needs to go and what needs to stay, rather than just buying a container and just dumping everything into it.
Right.
It really helps to see that. And then I love that evaluation to really stop and think, okay, now is this working for me?
Yes, and that's
because
really
I think
important.
Sometimes we just work so hard to, you know, to get something organized, but then we don't stop to think, is that working?
Right.
And then I love the thing about smile about it, you know, to really celebrate what you've done, and
right.
that kind of helps feed that excitement and motivates you to go on to the next step.
Absolutely, and I think we don't do this enough. Because it doesn't matter, even if it's the tiniest thing. Maybe all you did that day was, you know, organize your toothbrushes or something. I don't care how small it is, but get excited about that, because that's important. I mean, moms are busy, you know, women are busy, and I think sometimes we beat ourselves up that we're not doing enough. We're not getting enough done. And, in fact, I bet if you look through the day, all those little things add up, and we really need to stop and say, you know what, I did do something today. Even if it's so little, you fit it in between, you know, carpool or anything else, just celebrate that and just give yourself a pat on the back and say, you know what, hey, good job today, and tomorrow, you know, maybe I'm going to do another little thing. And all of those things add up and really, you know, just helping with your attitude as well, and turning your attitude around to seeing the positive and not concentrating on the negative.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I know. I tend to be a person who's on fast forward, and I had an assistant one time who really taught me how to stop and celebrate what I have done, what we've completed, before moving on. Otherwise, just like you said, we just feel like we're never getting anything done. So thank you for that whole that whole process, each of those steps, I can see how important those are.
Great.
Now, we want to, you are an expert in this area, and so we want to tap into your expertise. So can you tell us, what are your three biggest organization secrets or tips?
Okay, well, how about we start with two tips, and one of those would be that organizing doesn't have to be expensive, because you wouldn't believe that the number of times I hear women say, well, I'll get organized when I can afford all those containers, because right now I can't, and so there's just no point in me starting. And I just would have to just disagree with that, because it just doesn't have to be. Like, if we go back to the example of our linen closet and needing to organize our pillowcases or tablecloths or whatever it is, sure, we, you know, pretty baskets are a great thing, you know, beautiful wicker baskets. But if we can't afford those, then we should just make do in the time being. And get yourself, you know, go to the grocery store. They usually have boxes that you can take from there for free, empty boxes. Cut it down to fit the size you need and use those. You know, you can still label the front. You can use some pre-scrapbook paper or whatever, but just make do with what you can afford now, and don't let it stop you from getting organized, or using that as an excuse even, because it certainly is possible to do without spending any money. Thrift stores are one of my favorite places to find great organizing solutions, and of course the dollar store. The dollar store has very, very inexpensive plastic baskets that I really have in all my drawers. I have every drawer I think in my house has those inexpensive dollar store baskets, and in my linen closet as well, I've got them there. So you can often get two for a dollar, or you know, depending on the size of them. And so, yes, organizing definitely does not need to be expensive. Just make do. And you know, if it's in your drawer, or your closet anyway, you know, nobody's going to see that. If you only have so much to spend on supplies, maybe, you know, you could spend a little bit more on the baskets that are, you know, in your living room on display, if that makes you feel better. And then, you know, don't sweat it if you've got boxes or inexpensive dollar store baskets in your closets and drawers. It's totally fine.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah. And then my second tip, I can't not do an interview and, of course, not talk about menu planning, which I am very passionate about. Every Monday on my blog, we have Menu Plan Monday, where hundreds of women come and link up their menu plans, and it's a really great community of women that are menu planning every week and sharing those menu plans and sharing those recipes with others, because it's so easy to get in a rut each week with our meal preparations, and menu planning has just literally changed my life, and I don't say that lightly. It really has. I only started doing it myself when I started my blog and was home on maternity leave, and now I wonder how I ever survived not doing it. And the benefits are many, many to meal planning. It will save you. It will save you time. It will save you from that witching hour, as I like to call it, at 4 o'clock when you're opening your fridge, and you know, by that time of the day, you're tired, you're cranky, your kids are tired and cranky, and you're looking in your fridge thinking, please, something just jump out at me, right? And usually, that's not the time you want to be thinking about what to eat for dinner. So if you've made your plan in advance, then that stress is just taken off you, and it just, again, with the peace of mind, and you know, you can plan for healthier meals, and the money saved as well is just incredible. Like, I could go on and on about menu planning, but definitely I would suggest if you've never tried it, to maybe even plan one or two nights a week and start small and build up. I've got lots of resources on my blog as well. If anybody's interested in learning more, please come visit the site and get ideas from all the other women that are linking up. There are just so many great ladies participating each week with so much inspiration. I just can't recommend it enough. council.
That is wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. And then for probably one secret that I have that I've been doing now for a couple of years, and it you know, can be a little controversial, but, and I mentioned it in my book, is about stop sorting your laundry. If you want to save time in your life, and laundry is a big issue with all of us because it never ends. It just, the piles just grow and grow and grow. And, yeah, I implemented this with my laundry a couple of years ago at the recommendation of another professional organizer. And she said, all she does is each kid has a basket in their room, they throw their clothes in their basket, and then when that laundry is ready, depending on the age of your child, they could, you know, if they're older, they can do it themselves, or if they're younger, you can help them. You just throw that whole basket of laundry into the wash at one time. There's no sorting darks and whites. And I add vinegar to my laundry load, and I've never had a problem with colors running. Of course, denim and red items, I would probably wash separately for the first time only, but after that, you know, the colors are set, and I've never had a problem, and it just has made a huge, huge difference in my life in terms of time saving, and of course, we're all looking for pockets of time in the day, right?
Yes, so, we are. Well, that is a great secret.
Yes, it is, and I'm you know, I'm trying to get the word out there because I think, oh, women are so overwhelmed with laundry. And now laundry isn't even an issue for me anymore because the kids are responsible now for their own laundry. Mine are, my two oldest are 14 and 11, so they can definitely be doing their own laundry. But I still help my youngest, but I get him in there and helping alongside me. So eventually that will be something he will take over. And
yes,
now
each of my kids started their own laundry when they were in sixth grade. So
wow.
I highly recommend that too.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Good. Thank you so much. Those
You're
are
welcome.
Great tips and wonderful secret. All right. Now, for that woman who doesn't feel she has time to get organized, what three tips might you offer for her?
Okay. And yes, I totally understand. You know, like I said, I'm a mom with three kids myself, and it can really be a struggle some days to just find the time to devote to organizing. And so the tips I'll share here are just ones that can be incorporated throughout your day. Like, for instance, never leaving a room empty-handed. If we get into the habit of, you know, you're going from the laundry room, or from the living room to the kitchen, if you see a cup or a glass there, you know, bring it with you. If you see a toy that needs to go upstairs and you're passing the stairs, bring it with you, set it on the stairs. Next time you go up the stairs, bring it with you. Just get into that habit of having something in your hand throughout the day. By the end of the day, you won't have to look around and see all the things, you know, laying out and thinking, well, now I'm too tired to do it. I'm just going to leave it for tomorrow.
Right.
Right. And
yes.
Then tomorrow the same thing happens, and eventually those piles just grow and grow, right? So if we kind of get into the habit of kind of addressing it all day, just as we're going anyway, it really helps. And let's see here. Another, something else I would suggest is to combat that feeling of overwhelm that is so common amongst moms and women, is just to create a detailed list. And I have a list notebook, and I just write everything possible in there, that things I need to do. But rather than just saying, you know, I've got to go to the, or I've got to do, clean the office, for instance, or organize the office, like, list out exactly each step of that. Because in your day, you might not be able to get to organizing the whole office, but you certainly could get to maybe organizing just a drawer. So if you've got the list out in detail like that, it's a lot more possible to just address, you know, a 10 to 15 minute job rather than a whole hour. And, you know, just to get in that mindset of breaking every chore or job down into 10-minute chunks or 15-minute chunks rather than, and then the overwhelming burden of a big job, it really does help. And
so you can kind of stop and then pick up where you left off.
Exactly.
Oh, good.
Exactly. Yes. Like if you can only do a drawer that day, just do a drawer. That's great. And make sure you celebrate that. And don't beat yourself up that you didn't get the whole room done. You know, if you every day you just, you know, did one drawer or one, you know, one shelf in the closet, at some point you will get the room done. It might not be all in one day, but you know what, don't beat yourself up about it. It will get done. And then finally, I would say, and we already touched on this a little bit, is just getting your kids involved. Everybody in the household is responsible for the mess that occurs in that house, and everybody should be responsible for helping to maintain the space. And you know, it's never too late to, if you haven't had them involved up to this point, it's not too late to get them started. And every little bit helps, like, you know, from young right up to teens. Like, there's jobs for everybody, and it's just getting them involved. Of course, it's easier if you've started them when they're younger and instead of introducing it later, but it will make a difference in with your feeling of having to do it all. You don't, because you have the children there to help you and come alongside you and help you. My daughter's 14. I personally haven't cleaned a toilet in years, because that's always, for the last 3 years, that's been my daughter's job. She cleans the toilets and the sinks in the bathroom. So, and she does a great job. Maybe not so much at the beginning, but as we've, you know, gone through, she's definitely improved. And I really can't recommend that enough. It's just getting them involved in helping you. And like I said, maybe it's not going to be up to our standards. I think that is a stumbling block for a lot of women. And it might not be. But come alongside them, train them, and eventually it'll get to where you want it. But, yeah, sometimes it is easier for us to do it ourselves. But in the long run, no. They need to be part of it. You're also teaching them responsibility as well, which is so key. So those would probably be the three that I would recommend starting with for sure.
Those are great tips, and I love the one about getting the kids involved.
Yes.
You know, everybody is responsible, and it is our job as a parent to teach our kids how to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And how to contribute. So that is, it's part of our job, too. And so I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Well, Laura, you have just helped us so much, and I know everyone is so eager to go to your website, orgjunkie.com, and just see all the wonderful tips and tools that you have there. And that your book, and I know it's available on Amazon.com,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, it is.
The Clutter Rehab. So I would suggest to go to Amazon and get her book, because it just sounds like it's fabulous. And you can tell just by talking with Laura that these are things that she has learned, and they are tips that she's so passionate about sharing with other people. So thank you so much, Laura, for being with us today. We are so grateful for the time you've spent with us.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Wow. I don't know about you, but I took notes inside, outside, and all around the box for Laura's interview. So, she is just a wealth of organizing knowledge, and we're just so glad that she was able to join our call and share all of that with us. And now you know why we jumped right into her interview, because she just had so much to share with us. So we are going to move on to our panel of three women. If you will turn to page 2 of your handout, you have a large box where you will be able to take notes while they're speaking. And right below that box, it says recommended resources. And as I introduce each woman, I'm going to share their website or blog, and you might want to put their name right beside it, because you are certainly going to want to go back and check out their resources and their websites and blogs, because I get on almost every day all the four websites that we're mentioning tonight, because there's just so much great stuff there. So the first woman is Jen Jones, and she is with iHeart Organizing. And then Vicki Manila with Think Beyond Walls.
and Faith Craycraft with Pliable. So welcome, women.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, we are going to go get right into the questions because you girls have so much to share with us with more practical resources and experiences to help us live simple, organized lives. So, Vicki, we are going to begin with you. When I first got on your website and read about you, I thought, she is Superwoman. You are a single mom to three kids, PTA president, volleyball coach, night school student, business owner. You're involved in your community and church, and you're a cancer survivor. And so we just thought, how in the world do you manage all this? So what would be three tips that you would give a busy mom to help her life operate more smoothly?
Well, thank you for having me on this evening. I really appreciate it. I think that the three things, and there are a lot of hats that I juggle, one of the things that I'm very careful in is having a very consistent routine. If I don't have a consistent routine and have things kind of mapped out beforehand by planning them, it turns to chaos very quickly. So I would say the first one would just be very consistent with a system that works for you. Everybody is different, and everybody's going to have a different way of doing things, but you have to make sure you're doing the same thing. It's not just the motivation to get you going, but it's the actual habit-forming process that makes things work. And then I would also say to be careful and not over-schedule. There's got to be a careful balance. I find myself a lot of times saying, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do that too. Well, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So if I'm overwhelmed and running around, I'm more likely to snap at my kids, and they're not the ones to – it's not their fault that I took on too much. So I have to have a careful balance. And then the last thing I would say would be to allow extra time in places where you may not right now. So maybe your drive time. Maybe you need to add 15 minutes to every drive time that you put down. Or maybe you need to add, if somebody says to be there at 12:30, maybe put it in your calendar to be there at 12. And that way you have a couple minutes just to sit and recharge and take a deep breath. Color coding your calendar can be very helpful in seeing where you have too much going on at one time. I have a color for work, and then I have a color for my personal activities, and I have a color for my kids' activities. So if my calendar is coded for, say, green for my business, then if I look at the week and I see all green and no yellow, then I know that I'm doing too much work and that I need to balance that out a little bit more.
Wow, those are great tips. I took notes as you were speaking. Thank you. Jen, you are also a busy mom. Jen is again with iHeart Organizing, and she has three little boys who are adorable, and you can see pictures of them on her website. So one of the things that we have just loved, our team, as we've looked at your website, is your home organization binder. And it is super cute with customized printables. So could you explain that a little bit to us? And then what is the purpose and how can it benefit busy women?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. The home management binder concept has actually been around for a long time now, but I recently personally just discovered that they are so smart and so helpful for a busy mom or family. It's kind of the hub of our home, and we kind of call it our universal remote for our home because it really houses so many different pieces of our lifestyle in one place, which is why, you know, it's so great for us because it's, like I said, a hub. The binder really can contain anything for your family that is necessary for your lifestyle. As far as us, when creating our binder, I sat down and I brainstormed ideas of what would be beneficial to be in the binder. So I currently was using so many tools to keep me organized, from meal planning calendars and shopping lists and cleaning checklists and that type of thing. And so I wanted to keep them all in one handy place where I could always go to versus having them in a mail bin and on the fridge and in a stack on the counter. So really for us, the binder has been extremely helpful because it's a one-step place for our family to go to. We keep our children's schedules in there so my husband can quick open the flap and see, you know, where we need to be and when practices are, et cetera. We can keep our family budget in there and pop our billing statements in there when they come in from the mail. We can keep checklists on how to keep our home maintained and our auto maintained in that binder as well. Even our meal planning, our coupons, everything can go into pockets in the binder itself. So, and the binder's portable, which makes it really great. It's like a file cabinet on the go. You can take it anywhere with you and really have all that information at your hands at any time. But we really like to leave it at the edge of our counter so that anybody can go to it and flip to their section and look at what they need and instead of digging throughout the house for certain resources.
That's an amazing way to take care of everything. When I think of I needed more refrigerators to put all the schedules from my daughters, all the sports and all their church, and I could have just put it in one little binder. And, you know, I was always buying more bulletin boards and trying to get folders and figure out a system. And I think that's so neat because your whole family knows about this. So your husband knows where the schedules are. Your children, as they grow up, they're going to be able to see what the menu is. That's just a great idea. Thank you. So, Faith, you are also a busy woman, and you've had some things going on in your life. And so how do you stay organized and live into your priorities when life happens?
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me on the call. I think one thing that I'm learning is that we all have our own chaos that we go through, and I'm sure most of the women on the call tonight can identify with that one thing in their life that it seems they can't get past to organize their life the way they would like to. And that's definitely been the case for me over the past year, just to share a little bit so everyone can have a framework. The past year and a half, I have gotten married, started renovating an old fixer-upper of a house. My husband started going back to school. My mom has been diagnosed with a really difficult illness that I'm trying to manage as an only child 6 hours away from home. So those are just a few of the things, and I know that we all have our own chaos, again, that that we have to go through. And I think the big thing for me as I've navigated the last year and a half is knowing what my core values are and knowing how those things play into moving throughout each and every day. And so one of the things for me that's really important is intentionality. And so each day when I get up, I know that if I just have a few minutes to kind of quiet my mind, quiet my soul, look at my planner for the day, look at my home management notebook that I've so graciously updated thanks to Jen's help and her iHeart organizing site, then I'm so much more successful at the things that I want to do in my day. I think another thing as far as trying to find that clarity throughout the chaos is planning. And I know for maybe some of us that comes really naturally, and maybe for some it's not so much. But anything that is a challenge, if you can just plan a little bit, whether it's menu planning or couponing or time management, your health, anything that you can plan down to the wire and put it in your calendar or put it in your phone or whatever method works for you, making time for even the small things. So what day you're going to clean those bathrooms or what night you're going to have friends over, putting even the small things in will help you stay on top of those priorities when life throws those curveballs.
And I love getting on Faith's blog, and she's had some posts on how she schedules things out into weekly, monthly, quarterly, and she actually grades herself on how she's doing, and that really struck a chord with me being a former teacher, and so we got kind of a chuckle out of that, actually giving yourself a grade, and so, you know, wondering how many A's I would have and how many C's I would have. So I just think that's a great way to assess where you're at. And thank you for sharing about what's going on in your life. And like you say, we do all have our own chaos, but we're just all thinking of you and your mom, and we appreciate you sharing that with us. Vicki, you have a book called 7 Steps to Successful Weekly Planning. And you mentioned the importance of mapping out a plan for one goal that will help relieve tension in another area. Could you give us an example of this?
Sure.
I have, in my book, I've got a kind of an acronym, which is FLOW, and it's follow, like follow yourself around, and then you have to label, and then you have to organize, and you have to work your system. So, for instance, one of the things is to have a home-based command center, which it sounds similar to the binder idea, and I love the binder idea as well. But a home-based command center hangs on your wall. It's a magnetic whiteboard, and it's a communication station for your family. So if you're wanting to have less chaos, and that's your ultimate goal, then you have to figure out what you're doing right now. And if you have one spot to go to see everything and everybody in the family can see what's going on, then that's helping streamline some of the busyness in most families and in most families' face on a daily basis. So by setting up that command center, you're not only tracking your schedule and your calendar, but you're also tracking, for instance, mine has an inbox. So when my kids get home from school, they unpack their backpacks, and any of the papers that I need to sign or address, they put on their color-coded clip. So each kid is assigned a color in my home, and they take their clip and they clip those. And then after they go to bed and the chaos kind of settles down, then I'm able to take a look at everything, sign what needs to be signed, and put it in an outbox, a similar system, for them to grab in the morning. So this is alleviating any missed papers, miscommunication between teachers. And also, this is a place where I would house my meal plan for the week. And I would then grocery shop for that meal plan and kind of prep my weeknight dinners as well as prepackage any healthy snacks like rinsing and washing the fruits. I do all of that on Sunday night. So on the command center, we can see which groceries we need, what papers need to be addressed, what the schedules are. So in one system, it knocks out a lot of those goals in one place. So it's relieving tension in many areas by having one system in place.
Well, so where were you 26 years ago when I started raising my daughter? I have one daughter just graduating from nursing school and the other is going back to grad school, so maybe I'll suggest they have this. But that is really such an awesome, I got excited just hearing you tell about that. I mean, color-coded clips, and I did the same. I'd go right through their backpacks, but I certainly didn't have a system like that. So moms, wow, this is really something to grab onto. Now, your book, they can find out more about that on your website, correct? ThinkBeyondWalls.com?
Yes, that is correct. And they can purchase the book online. There is an e-copy. There is a physical copy that gets shipped out. And then now there's also an audio book as well. So there's three different ways to purchase that, as well as programs that come along with it so that there's kind of an assistance team, per se. So you purchase the book and you can – if you sign up for one of the programs, then you get coaching sessions or audio downloads. There's a variety of different things that come with that. So, yes.
Great. Okay, thank you. I know that people are going to want to check that out. So, Len, we're going to move on to you. And I love this quote from your website. We actually posted it on our iBloom Facebook page last week. For every minute invested in organizing, an hour is earned. So tell us how being organized helps you live more fully into your priorities.
Yeah, so for me personally, my family is definitely my main priority. And, I definitely organize so that we can spend more time together. But some great examples of ways that statement has held true for us is I've taken, 10, 15 minutes of my time to organize, some totes or some canvas bags for my kids. So they each get their own canvas bag, and inside of it we put everything that they need for a trip in the car. So they have, a pillow, coloring books, their little video game system, whatever they like in the car for a trip on the road. And so we took enough time, just packed up all those bags, and we hang them on a hook in their bedroom. So now anytime we run out the door, all they have to do is grab that bag, and they're all set for in the car. And then that bag is their limit. So they can only bring what's in that bag in the car, but they always have that bag packed, and they are always ready to hop out of the house at any notice without having to run through the house and grab all their belongings. So that one small 15 minutes of time and packing up that bag has saved us boatloads of time. Every single time we want to run out the house, they have their bag is already ready and on their hook. Some other things we've done is invested time in our meal planning. So it's been talked about a lot tonight. Meal planning has saved so much time in our week, so we're always prepared for our meals. I invest probably 10, 15 minutes of my morning and on a Sunday, and we are planned for the entire week as far as what we're making and when. And it also saves us money. So investing that little bit of time on the weekend saves us money, and then we're not eating out, and we can take things out the day before, and our meals can get prepared a lot quicker. Another example would be creating, investing a little bit of time in creating some picture labels for your kids' toy bins or for their dresser drawer front so that they know where their clothes go. And then that way your kids can help contribute. Like for us, it's our work together, play together mentality, so the kids can help out picking up their toys, getting things put away where they belong, along with their laundry and their clothes. My kids were putting their clothes away at the ages of 2 and 3 just because I invested a little bit in time in organizing their drawers and creating a system for them. So then we have a lot more time to spend as a family because of those small investments of time in organizing our life. So.
Wow. I can't wait to have grandchildren. I'm not anywhere near having them. My daughters have told me, but, oh, I just can't wait. I'm going to have these kids so organized. They're not going to know what's going on. So we just thank you. Those are such great practical things to do. And with your three little boys, you have to be organized if you want your life to go smoothly. So thank you. Faith, I know all of the women listening here have a heart to serve others. And that takes time, and that takes planning, too. So how do you feel that an organized home and life help you to be able to serve others?
Sure. Well, I think one thing that is very important personally to me and also to our family is hospitality. And I definitely think that is a spiritual gift that I have and try to really let those that come through my core values. And again, when life is chaotic, sometimes it's hard to make time to have people in your home. And like I mentioned, we're in the process of renovating a home, so it can be challenging to not feel like you have a perfectly organized home or perfectly spotless house. But I think one thing for me, being organized has really allowed us to bring people into our lives that maybe wouldn't have crossed our path. And what I mean by that is that it's that intention. Again, it's sitting down once a month. We have a big desk calendar, and my husband and I will sit down once a month, as we're going to do in a couple nights for the month of May, and we will look at when my husband has some tests coming up for school and when I have to maybe work in an evening or on a weekend. And we'll make sure that all of that's down on that calendar. And then we look at dates that work really well for us to invite people into our home. And so we'll circle those dates on the calendar, and we have a running list of people that we would like to invite into our home. You know, when we were preparing for our marriage and preparing for our wedding, we said, you know, we wouldn't be the people we are today without the investment of others. And so we wanted to be able to give back to them some of what they had poured into us. And so we have that list of people, and my kind of theme for 2011 was finding clarity through chaos. 2010 was really chaotic, and I wanted to be able to manage that chaos a little bit better. And for me, that comes through relationships with other people. And so being able to carve out that time in an organized way and know that, okay, Monday nights don't work for us because we're spent after one day back in the office after a really busy weekend most of the time. So Mondays aren't good. And so we identify what days work for us and then communicate that with the people that are really important in our lives. One goal that we had at the beginning of the year was to create a monthly potluck for friends that maybe we don't get to see very often. And we had some really great, great aspirations to do this. And we got thrown some curveballs. You know, life happened, and it didn't really work out as we had intended. But as you were mentioning earlier, Lori, about the grades that I give myself kind of on my weekly planning, I also have learned, first and foremost, that grace is the biggest key to being able to mentally get that clarity through the chaos. Yes, it's very important to have goals and strive for greatness in your life, but it's also important to realize that we're all no one's perfect, and we all just have to be able to give ourselves some grace. So those monthly potlucks didn't really happen the way that we had hoped for them to. But perhaps this summer, when the weather's a little better and we have a little bit better of a backyard in our home, we can invite some people in and make that a priority. But we still don't feel that we've failed because we have been able to still tap into that gift of hospitality by having other people into our home. I think it's important to know schedules for people in your family, whether it's spouses, sisters, kids, whatever that may look like, to know your schedule. And then again, know what your core values are. And if relationships are at the top of that, figure out how to make that work. Maybe hospitality is not one of your spiritual gifts, but you know, maybe community and relationships is one of your core values. So figure out ways, if that's just meeting friends for coffee or dessert somewhere, or looking at a place that maybe offers half-price appetizers, and figuring out a way to incorporate that into your life.
Thank you for sharing that. I know flexibility is really the key to so much of this, too. It's like you said, the grace to say to ourselves, we got off track or life happened, and but here's where we'd like to get back on track. And one of my daughters has the gift of hospitality, and I've watched her, because I always thought all my plates had to match and the walls had to be painted and every room had to be spotless. And what I realized is people just like to gather. And so when you create an environment, a pleasant environment, everything doesn't have to match, you know, and it's just gathering people together and sharing your life and opening your home. So I know your friends appreciate that, and that's just a neat thing you guys have started. So Vicki, Jed, and Faith, we just want to thank you for your time and your expertise, and I want to encourage again all the listeners to go to the recommended resources, get on these girls' websites and their blogs. They have a lot more to share, and we just thank you for their time today. Leanne, we are going to turn this over to you for a few minutes, and we are going to let you take all this information we've heard tonight and take us to the next level.
Thank you, Lori. I have enjoyed listening to the speaker so much, and a big thank you to Betsy for putting together the handout that hopefully you've downloaded and had a chance to look at. I want to point you to the Take Action Plan section of your handout, if you do have that in front of you. There's some wonderful information that will help you get started and have some place to go with it when you leave. I know I've left conferences or workshops and just kind of felt overwhelmed by all the great things that I heard. And I had a speaker one time say, it's better to take one thing that you learned and actually do it that day, that week, than it is to think great thoughts about doing everything. So pick one thing, one area that you want to start with, and then celebrate that when you've completed it. Lean on each other in the membership community for the cheerleading after you get it done. I know I love that part. And then also just to be back on track if you do fall off course. It is a process, as Laura said earlier. You're not going to just arrive one day. So be easy with yourself and just notice those moves in the right direction that you're making. I would also encourage you to post in the iBloom community the area, and Kelly had posted that in the Facebook chat, that post the one area that you're working on or the one thing so that we can encourage you and so that you can help us and help each other in those same areas. You may be able to buddy up with someone who's working on the same thing, or you might just be able to find encouragement that would relate to what you're working on. I know right now my master bedroom area is the area that I want to create a safe haven, and because I realize it's the place that I see last when I go to sleep, and it's what I see the first thing when I wake up. So if I can start there, I think I'll feel a lot more calm and at ease. But anyway, just make sure you lean on each other in that community. Choose one thing that you're going to start doing and take action rather than holding yourself in that one spot. There is a section on the, I believe it's the third page of your handout, that says the Take Action Plan. And evaluate very seriously. Just take a few minutes and think about, it says the action number one, what is your biggest obstacle for getting that area organized? And there are several options. There's procrastination, resistance, perceived time restraints, motivation, or lacking process or system. That's definitely going to be the first thing you want to think about, because it could be that you need a buddy if you're procrastinating, or it could be that you need to use a timer if you're thinking that it's going to take forever. I mentioned in the chat room that I had been putting off clearing off my dresser in my bedroom because I just thought it was going to take forever to figure out where to put everything, and it's basically just thinking it was going to take too long. So I even set my timer and saw that it took me less than 30 minutes to put everything on the bed and just start putting things away, throwing things away. And then I actually got my 4-year-old to dust while we were at it, so I put her to work too. But whatever your biggest obstacle, identify that and then find something that will help you be motivated and that will help you really make progress. Because one of the biggest things that we want for you at iBloom is for you to start loving your life. And so that's going to mean baby steps and celebrating when you have those successes. I'm going to hand it back over to you, Lori, to close. I'd also encourage you to be putting in the Facebook community your wins and then how you celebrated. I'd love to have ideas on how you do that, especially if it's a way that you can do it inexpensively. I know that we're all looking for those money-saving tips like we covered on one of our previous calls. So please go ahead and post those in the Facebook community. And I'll hand it over to you, Lori. Thank you.
Well, this has certainly been a time of great inspiration and motivation. And so it's our hope that you won't just listen to this information, that you will actually decide to take action. And as Leanne said, there's, identifying the distractions, and as far as different processes, all of our speakers today have resources that are available to you, and we can share in the Facebook membership page. So let's just all get busy and happy organizing. So thank you for joining us, and we just are glad that you guys could all be here. Thank you. Goodbye.